Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, where we also teach you how to contend for the faith once for all handed down to the saints. Bob, it's good to be with you again talking about the great book of Galatians.
Yeah, we are in Galatians 4. Today we're going to cover verse 3, and here we come to a passage that I have it here in the Holman Christian Standard Bible.
Yeah.
It says here, in the same way we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elemental forces of the world. And that last phrase, the elemental forces, is stacked on all these other things we are talking about.
Yeah.
Up through last week.
Right.
From Galatians 3:1 on.
Yeah.
Being cursed, being under pedagogy, being imprisoned,
right,
being under tutors and governors,
Guardians.
And every range of thing that would be undesirable.
Yeah.
But this is sort of the capstone. We're under the demons. Now, we have a little work to do because not everybody thinks the stoichia are evil spiritual forces, although I think as you look at some of the latest Bible translations and commentaries, that idea is winning today. There's been some research that's done.
It is.
That has tipped the scholarly world toward seeing this the way the people in Asia Minor saw it.
That's right, Bob. You know, I know there's three different ways that scholars view the term stoichia. And by the way, we're using the plural form of stoichion, the neuter noun for, and we're claiming they're demonic beings.
It's called elemental forces here in the Holman Christian Standard Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know what yours says.
Yeah, what does mine say? Elemental things. Yeah,
elemental
so they're a little
things,
bit further. That's the New American Standard.
I like the idea of forces.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Because these are beings, not just inanimate objects.
Yeah, now the three choices are throughout the scholarship today is some think that it's a reference to the ABCs of religion, kind of the basic things that you'd see.
Some people interpret it this way.
Yeah. Now,
why go back under the ABCs of religion? But I think if we look at the context, let's go back to Colossians where it's used, you see that it's more than that.
Exactly. Now, I know in Hebrews 5, a lot of times people will proof text and say, well, the stoichia there is a reference to the elemental teachings, but the context makes it clear that that is
It's clear in Hebrews.
Yeah.
And it also means the physical elements in Peter, 2 Peter.
Yep.
But we need to see how Paul used it, and particularly how he used it in letters to Asia Minor, where the stoichia were feared as the causes of bad faith. And that's where this Clinton Arnold has done some great work.
He did.
And I've written on this several times myself.
Yeah. So you and I, we've taught this for many years now, but we're claiming that the stoichia here, the elemental things or forces, as you had in your version, which I like better, these are demonic beings. And so we, as Paul is saying, is we were when we were children, that is being under the law, we were really under the demonic beings.
Yes, and that's the picture that becomes very clear as you study Galatians, and then Colossians, and then Ephesians, which doesn't use stoichia, but it uses principalities and powers and forces of darkness and so on. There's no doubt in Ephesians that he's talking about these demonic beings.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, keep in mind, you can also go to Acts and see how they saw things.
Right.
Okay, so Asia Minor, Colossae, Southern Galatia, Ephesus.
Yes.
The material in Acts that overlaps.
Right.
Where you have the idolatry, the spiritists.
Yes.
You know, the magic arts. You read
it's
that in Acts.
Right.
Okay, and this woman that was speaking through a spirit that Paul cast out of her.
Right, right.
Okay, so you have all of this material in Acts.
Yeah.
You have evidence of how it proliferated, because in Ephesus they were having a riot because they thought people converting to Christianity and burning their magic arts and turning away the silversmith that made the gods
and
goddesses.
Right, they were upset about that. Yes.
We're going to lose their business.
Yeah.
Okay. Nowadays, they wouldn't have to worry. You could be fully employed.
Right, sadly so.
But then the latest material, Clinton Arnold's book, The Colossian Syncretism, has a whole chapter on this, and it talks about
It's seminal.
How people, these amulets, papyri, inscriptions in religious places.
Yeah.
We're talking about the names of angels and what have you that were invoked trying to scare away the hostile forces that caused bad fate.
Yes. Bob, you know, part of the syncretism inevitably came from Persia. And when you had the diaspora, of course, the Jews are dispersed. But when they come back, some of them do settle.
They brought it with them.
They brought it with them,
yes. I have research on that I did.
Yeah.
Josephus talks about that.
Yes.
With them comes back from the sort of Babylonian influence, would have you, these magic ideas.
Yeah.
And even Jewish people were superstitious.
Yeah, amen.
And practicing these things.
I know one of the beliefs that they had was they believed in these astral deacons, which are really end up being demonic beings. But supposedly, in the Jewish mind, when they come back from Persia, these astral deacons control 10 degrees of the celestial sphere.
Uh-huh.
So you'd have 36 of them. 36 times 10 is 360. So they'd go all the way around the world, as it were. And they would have to really worry about these demonic beings. They didn't call them that, but they were demonic beings that supposedly controlled their fate. Now, evidence of that is we see in Colossians, and I'll just cite Colossians 2:18. Listen to what Paul's so upset about. Now, remember, he wants them not to lose the sufficiency of what they have in Christ. Their fear is these demonic beings. So, yeah, they began with Christ, but now he supposedly isn't sufficient to protect them from the demons. And so now they start invoking angels to try to get protection from the demons.
Mm-hmm.
And evidence of that is in Colossians 2:18, where Paul says, "Let no one disqualify you." Now, this is the ESV. It says, "insisting on asceticism and worship of angels." Now, let's just stop there. The worship of angels would be designed to be invoked for the protection against the demons who control your fate. So if you don't want your children to get sick, if you want your businesses to succeed, you had to make sure that you are engaged in these type of spiritual practices so that you would get favor and help from these angels against the demonic beings.
Arnold, in his book, The Colossian Syncretism, has a whole chapter about that word worship.
Yes.
It's kind of unusual. And he laid that out there and does all his work in the Greek.
He does a wonderful job.
He comes to the conclusion of what you said, that they invoke the names of angels and wore them on their person.
Yes.
And uttered them, hoping for salvation from bad fate or from the hostile powers, the Stoichia.
Yeah, amen. You know, and what's interesting, let me just help the listener, too, with this verse 18, because it's not well rendered in our English versions. It goes on to say, in my ESV, after the worship of angels, it says, going on in detail about visions. Well, the going on in detail really comes from a participle, imbatuon.
Mm-hmm.
But the better translation, as you learned from the Colossian syncretism by Arnold, is that it was entering in.
Yeah, entering in. And Arnold has some amazing material. They found an inscription on one of the temples for a pagan deity.
Yeah.
And there was a higher order experience that they wanted to have.
Wow.
And there is an inscription where so-and-so had been there. They have rituals of purification, fasting, keeping holy days. There's this goddess Hellcate that they were worried about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to, in a sense, literally go into this place doing this process, and they're going to, quote, meet their demons. Okay?
Wow.
The goddess Hellcate, how this all worked is a good question.
Right, right.
But they have information on it, and there's an inscription where so-and-so had entered.
Wow. Embatuon.
Embatuon. They're using that word.
Yeah.
And then having this higher order experience, once he escaped his bad fate caused by this Hellcate, came out on the other side, what was promised to him was perpetual immunity
From the demons.
Wow.
Now, Bob, tell the irony then to the listener. The irony is that they're going under the demons, right?
Yeah, now it was just very much like Galatians. Now, what was going on was they didn't want to give this up. These people now that became Christians. The gospel came to Asia Minor.
Right.
Through Paul.
Yeah.
They become Christians. They have forgiveness of sins. Their hearts and minds are cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
But they're starting to think, I don't want to give up what I had through this experience I had earlier.
Right.
In this pagan religion, because that gave me immunity from bad fate. So if you read the list of things that it has there in Colossians 2,
yeah,
these are all aspects of a syncretistic religion in Asia Minor that involves some things Jewish and some things pagan. And that's why scholars over the years, before they had some of this later information, really scratched their heads about, is this just Judaism? What was it they were going back to?
That's exactly right.
And I think Arnold and his work, and then plus some others, have done the same.
Right.
I don't think it's a mystery anymore. I think we understand.
We understand it. In fact, you know, Bob, what's interesting, you just gave a lot of information about what it was. Let me just read it and just
show you. Yeah, read it right from the scripture.
Let me read it right from here, because then you'll see how clueless we really are. The English versions just don't know what to do with it. It says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. Now listen to this Imbatu, and it just says, going on in detail about visions. Well, you just explained what Imbatuan really was.
Yeah,
well,
they have some vivid descriptions found in these archaeological digs.
Right.
About what happened and what they were doing.
Right. Now, you know what's interesting, too, about this is that entering in allowed these people to have an experience, because it says that they did have visions. In fact, in the Greek,
had to do it just right so they'd have this freedom, so they wouldn't be overcome by this hellcate, but would actually come out in this higher state.
So think about the power. The listener needs to think about this for just a moment. These people were having visions, having a real experience, believing that they had now protection against the demonic realm, and Paul has to tell them that they cannot go by these visions and these experiences that they had, but they had to go by what God's word had said, that through Christ they had not only salvation, but provision and protection perpetually from the demonic realm.
They're not under bad faith, they're under God's providence.
Amen.
Now, let me give an illustration, because it's hard to put that into the present.
Yeah, right, right.
But I think I can do it.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard,
right,
created a system where you're trying to become clear, and Hubbard was a science fiction writer who decided to start a religion, or whatever you want to call it, Scientology.
Great,
it's very expensive. You pay.
Yeah.
They have these auditors, and they have levels. Everything's a level.
Right.
And you pay and pay and pay and pay as you go up this ladder of being clear.
Yeah.
Okay? So imagine, I don't know if anybody ever made it to the top besides L. Ron Hubbard.
Sure.
But I do know somebody that got saved out of that sort of thing. He used to be in it, and it was very expensive.
Yeah, wow.
Well, let's just suppose you are all the way to the top and spent a couple hundred, $300,000 to get there. And some Christian comes along and says, no, you're still under the stoichi unless you repent and believe the
great
gospel.
Great example, yeah.
You're giving up all of this.
Yes.
And so now if you become a Christian, you start thinking, well, you know, if you have any wavering in your faith, you're thinking, you know, something bad happened. I had it better the other way because I was clear.
Right.
I was free.
Right, right.
Now, in Christ, I have to believe that there's an eternal reward, and whatever happens to me now may seem bad, but all things are working together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Well, maybe I'll just integrate the two. I'll bring in the one.
Yeah.
Put it with the other one, and I'll have the best of both worlds.
Right, right. And Paul's saying, no, that's a non-starter.
And that's what Colossians was all about. That's what they want to do. That's why Colossians 1 starts with this Christ hymn about the sufficiency of Christ.
Yes.
And it says we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved son, the domain of darkness.
Right. Yeah, I know one of the catchphrases they used, too, was having the pleroma, the fullness of...
Yeah, that was another thing. So you already have the fullness through the demonic religion.
Right.
You've already escaped your demons.
Yes.
You've already beat Hellcate, the goddess of death.
Yes.
And you came out on the other side free from bad fate.
Yeah.
And now the Christians come along and tell you to repent of all that and trust Christ.
Right, and now Paul says, no, the fullness is found in Christ. In fact, yeah. He says in Colossians 2:9 that the pleroma, the fullness of deity, was pleased to dwell within him. That's where we have our sufficiency. And you're right, that seems absurd to people who have had these visions, these experiences.
They you see the same faith. Thing in Ephesians, fullness comes up.
Yes. By the way, that's a good segue into plugging that paper that you had written. You wrote on this subject really well in Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God.
It's the gospel.
Yeah, the CIC article.
I get
article.
Emails from people who are tormented by demons, and they think I might make, because I'd had experience with that way back.
Yeah.
Which I renounce.
Right.
But they think somebody can get rid of their demons. They're desperate for it.
They are.
And I keep pointing them to the gospel, but they don't want to believe that Christ did it all for them. They want a shaman-type person called a deliverance counselor,
right,
to fix the problem.
They don't realize the fullness
want to see that the armor of God is the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
They think it's an incantation or a secret words that you say that might scare away the demons.
Now, Bob, one of the things you and I wanted to do is kind of lay out this worldview that the scriptures used about the demonic realm. And just how prolific the demonic realm
Let's
really is.
Let's start by linking Galatians back to Acts.
Okay, yeah,
and then we'll go
that.
Back even further.
Okay, yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay, back to Galatians 4:3, which we're talking about the stoichia, and then we were talking about the Colossian use of it. In Colossians 2:8, says, be careful that no one takes you captive through a philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces.
There's the stoichia again.
There's the stoichia of the world, not based on Christ. Kata, I think it means according to.
Yeah.
So here we have demons that actually teach religion and philosophy.
Wow, isn't that something to think
comes
about?
Comes from them.
Yeah, that's their doctrine.
So the demons teach a doctrine that purports to fight the demons.
That's
the deception. And the deceived people think, well, what? That can't be the case. Satan can't be divided against himself. Satan doesn't fight Satan. Himself, and so therefore you can't be interpreting it correctly. No, this is a confidence game. This is a protection racket.
Yes.
Okay? Somebody's attacked by demons, and then they get one of these shamans who say, well, the gatekeeper demon is so-and-so.
Yes.
Okay, so let's attack him. Well, the demons, which are unseen, they either manifest or quit manifest. They do whatever they want, and the Christians are running around thinking they're getting somewhere by interacting with demons.
Right.
And I tell people, ignore, look to the finished work of Christ and rest there and believe it.
Amen.
Well, what if I have manifestations? Ignore, trust Christ. Don't go into that, because these spirit beings have been around for thousands of years.
Right.
They're invisible to us. They know what they're doing. They're pulling the strings. They're the ones who gave you the teaching that's supposed to fight them.
Right.
But they're back there pulling all the strings.
Exactly.
And you're running around in circles.
And all along, their whole goal and desire is to lead us from the sufficiency of Christ, where we have all we need. And if they can do anything, they want to do that. That's their goal.
Keep us away from Christ. So if you go to Colossians, it always goes back to Christ, the cross, finished work of Christ.
Amen.
But then it goes on and says, Colossians 2:20 and 21, if you died with the Messiah to the stoichia, to cosmu of the world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch.
Relate now that
the
right to Galatians.
The lawgivers are putting you under the stoichia. I saw this when I was studying Galatians.
Yeah.
It was revolutionary.
That's right.
So, it just seems like you're making us more strict. No, they're taking you and putting you under demons.
Wow.
Well, how could that be? Well, the God gave the law through Moses, so how could going to the law put me under demons. Well, let's see what Stephen said in Acts 7:42. Remember, Stephen was, according to the authorial intent of Acts, the narrator, he spoke for God.
That's right.
His sermon was of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And commended by God in the scripture here.
That's right.
So he spoke the truth. Stephen said this, now recounting Israel's history.
Yes.
But God turned away and delivered them up to serve the host of heaven. Now, the host of heaven, I've done a teaching on that as well. If you follow that through the whole scripture.
It's the same thing as the Stoic, yeah.
Yeah, it's talking about the demonic, because it says they'll be judged on the earth.
Yeah.
It doesn't just mean the stars and the constellations.
Right.
Because you couldn't take one star and put it on the earth.
Right, that's right.
Because the star is bigger and it would burn
it
to crisp.
Right.
These are demons.
That's right.
Okay, so they were turned over to serve the hosts of heaven, as is written in the book of the prophets. It was not to me that you offered victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? Well, you can go back in Deuteronomy and see that this whole, what the host of heaven's all about.
Right, right.
It's demonic.
That's
now,
exactly right.
Let's go back. If you want to read in yours, Deuteronomy 32:9.
Yeah, I'll read Deuteronomy 32:8-9. Now, here, just to let the listener know, there's a little translation issue. But the ESV actually does a good job, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But here's Deuteronomy 32:8, the ESV. It says, when the Most High, of course talking about God, gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. Now let me just stop there. This is the last portion of verse 8. The translation issue there is many of your English versions will instead have the sons of Israel. Now, we know from the Dead Sea Scrolls that the best textual evidence that we have supports the Septuagint reading, which is really the sons of God. Now, the sons of God is a phrase that's used exclusively throughout the Old Testament as a reference to these demonic beings that Bob is alluding to with Stoicheia, with host of heaven. And so what's being declared here then is that you had the nations allotted according to the number of these demonic beings. And so all the nations belong to the demonic beings. And for just a moment, think about this. In Daniel 10, you have a prayer by Daniel that's hindered. It's going to Gabriel, and Gabriel says he was hindered by the prince of Persia, this demonic being.
Well, oh, yeah.
You know, so these things
are
real.
Well, then we have Job 1.
Yes, the host of the host of heaven there, the sons of
God.
Yeah,
Job, well, let me just read that.
Yeah.
Just show biblical terminology. Job chapter 1, it says in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God, there's that
there
same terminology
yep.
you found in Deuteronomy 32:9.
Exactly.
Came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them.
That's right, so there he is.
And so you have this same thing going on. And then you have the, remember the Micaiah, there's this assembly that comes of beings.
Yes, 1 Kings 19, yes.
Yeah, and they come in and say, well, I'll be a lying spirit. Well, I can't be a good angel.
No,
a good angel's not,
good. Not
a lying spirit.
Right.
So here's what happened. Let me just give you the big picture.
Yeah.
Okay? Israel is to be God's son. Exodus 4:22.
Exactly.
Israel's my son. And so going back here to Galatians, the idea was Israel was adopted, brought out of Egypt, brought to God.
Yeah.
They come and they receive the covenant at Mount Sinai. They're warned about these things. It was right there, they already made a golden calf.
Yes, right.
Okay. And then they rebel and don't want to go into the promised land.
Right, right.
Okay. And they break covenant. They don't listen to God.
Yeah.
And Moses warned them that if they did that, they'd go back under these hosts of heaven.
The demonic beings, exactly.
Exactly. So God had put the various nations under these things, only they're not visible to us, only the human rulers.
Right, right.
Okay? But the ancient people knew that these things existed, and they obviously did in Asia Minor.
Right, right.
Okay? Now, that was God's mercy.
Yeah.
And this goes back to Genesis 6 and the interaction between the sons of God and the daughters of men.
Right.
So God said no at the flood, and then afterwards said, it's not going to be like this. Human rulers will rule over nations.
Right.
The boundaries that these human rulers rule over is drawn out according to the host of heaven.
Right, right.
So there are these principalities and powers that are talked about in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Now, it said in Deuteronomy 32:9 that Israel was to be uniquely Yahweh. So he was going to rule directly over Israel.
Exactly. It says, but Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is his allotted heritage.
Yeah, so the allotment or the inheritance was to be Israel. But when they rebelled, according to Stephen and according to the prophets,
yes, they went back under
they were just thrown under the host of heaven like everybody else.
Right. Now, Bob, in the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years, what God does is he wrestles his people out from under the Stoichi again. His promise and his covenant with Jacob is eternal. He will take them again to be his own.
They'll yet be directly under Yahweh, but not until the end of the Great Tribulation.
Exactly.
But in the meantime, it's really bad.
It's really bad,
And that's what Stephen said. And so here's what Paul's saying. Now, we try to paint his big picture.
Yes,
I hope
well done.
Paul is saying, if you go back, they wanted to require Titus to be circumcised.
Yes.
Peter and Barnabas got carried away with hypocrisy and wouldn't have table fellowship with Gentile Christians.
Right.
They're starting to want to go back under the law. They're going to put themselves back under the host of heaven, and they're going to get beat up by demons.
Yes.
Do you want Yahweh to rule over you, or do you want the demons?
It's either or.
It's either or.
Yes.
And that's what it says here.
Right.
That's what Galatians 4:3, it isn't just the ABCs of religion.
That's right.
This is demonic.
No,
and we saw in Colossians,
so powerful,
do not taste, do not touch.
Yes.
People think, well, it's strict. It's telling me how to be more strict. It's got to be God. No, it does not. It's taking you away from the sufficiency of Christ.
Amen.
And that's what Colossians is about. That's what Ephesians is about.
Yes.
That's what Galatians is about. That's what Acts is telling us. That's what the Old Testament prophets are telling us. This is clear, it's consistent, and it goes all the way into the book of Revelation.
That's right. So, Bob, now the listener can understand why it is that going back to circumcision is such, it's as serious as a heart attack. It puts one back under the demonic beings, where you're governed now by Satan and his rule, and so it is with every other man-made system that takes us away from the sufficiency of
Exactly.
Christ.
Yeah, and I was talking about that Sunday in Sunday school.
Yeah, that's right.
And neo-paganism and what have you, nature worship.
Wow.
This is what people are drawn to. So back here, so we can bookend this, Galatians 4:3. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elemental forces of the world. So all of these other bad things now have another component, a demonic one. It's no wonder we were cursed.
Wow.
Imprisoned, beaten.
Yes.
In a horrible condition, and that we want to go back.
Wow. Astonishing.
Well, it's part of the temptation of Satan. It's like the wilderness wanderers are a good illustration.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they want to go back to Egypt, or you go to 1 Corinthians 10, the people wanted to have Christ and pagan idolatry.
That's exactly right.
They wanted to go to the pagan love feast and the Christian one.
That's right. And Paul
Colossians, they wanted to have their magic arts and their Christianity.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, well, Bob, I think you've really helped unpack now why this is so dangerous, going to any form of man-made religion. In fact, that's what Paul says in Colossians. He says, let no one do that to you. Don't let anyone judge you with respect to new moon festivals or Sabbath days. These things were merely a shadow, but the substance is found in Christ. If you and I, who are in the substance, namely Jesus Christ, go back to the shadow, which, yes, at one time was the law of God, but if we use it inappropriately now and go back to it, thinking that somehow we garner favor with God, the sad thing is we're under the Stoichia, the very demonic beings.
And the thing is that might shock people is these Christian curse breakers, demon caster outers, deliverance ministers, they're just doing the thing that pagans do, rearranging the stoichia.
In fact, you call them shamans, and you do it deliberately to be provocative.
Yeah, because every culture, these things are real.
Yes.
I'm not teaching a materialistic worldview. These things are real.
Right.
Every culture has people that are better than others at interacting with the spirit world.
Yes.
They're called shamans. Christians that do the same thing are Christian shamans.
Yes.
Which is the ultimate oxymoron, but that's what people are looking for.
Yeah.
I've written a lot of articles about this.
Right.
Now, the remedy. CICministry.org, you start looking paganism, curses, deliverance. I even wrote on the Colossian syncretism.
Now, Bob, you've also, and I love the Sunday school that you did this past Sunday. The remedy to all of it is to believe cognitively the objective promises of God from the Word of God and stay away from all of the...
Exactly. Isn't that what Colossians gives us? The
yes.
supremacy of Christ,
Amen.
Sufficiency of Christ.
That's right.
The finished work of the cross.
That's not as exciting, probably, to a lot of people as the visions. Think about what they had at Colossians when they would go into the temple. And they would actually have these demonic experiences. And remember, you had mentioned at Pentecost, think about what the Jews had to leave behind in order to be a Christian.
Yeah. They left behind all the pageantry, the smells, the sounds, the sights. You know, Emergent talks about worshiping God with all five senses. That's what they had.
That's right. That's right.
But instead, they believed the gospel preached by Peter, some of them, and they have instead devotion to the apostles' teaching, breaking bread, fellowship, prayer.
Wow.
Without owning any big, magnificent cathedral or temple.
Yes. That's amazing.
No priestly garb.
Yeah.
No animal sacrifices. Only the finished work of Christ. It seems simple. I was just reading today, Eric, and we're out of time, but let me finish with this one.
Yeah.
Just reading in Deuteronomy and Exodus as I'm getting ready for Sunday.
Right.
They were saying, when we were in Egypt, we had fish and onions, and they were mentioning, you know, the menu in Egypt.
Sure, yeah.
And it sounded really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they said, all we have is this manna.
The grumbling.
They were grumbling over the manna, but the manna is a type of Christ.
Yes.
And then even when Jesus comes and shows that he can multiply the fish and the bread, they said, well, Moses gave us manna. What do you have?
Yeah.
They're still grumbling. In fact, he used that same word, grumble, in John 6.
That's right.
Well, my flesh and my blood for the life of the world.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, what work are we going to do? How are we going to work the works of God?
John 6:29.
John 6:29.
Wow.
It says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom the Father sent. Dear listener, that's God's plan. It's faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone.
Wow.
To the glory of God alone. And we have what we need. If we grumble and we want some deliverance counselor to rearrange the demons, it's a failure of faith.
Yes.
And we're no better than the Israelites wanting to go back to Egypt. May God give us boldness, courage, and faith to be settled on the finished work of Christ, and thankful that he delivered us from the hostile powers of darkness.
Wow. Amen, Bob. Thank you so much. Well, we're out of time, as you mentioned earlier here, for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. Both Bob and I want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. It was a pleasure discussing these things again with you, Bob. And my prayer is that over time, the listener will see over and over again the destructive nature of going after things that are seen in visions and everything apart from the Word of God.
Amen.
We want to both remind you to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.